The NCAA, they're getting hit with a lawsuit over concussions. Did you know anything about that young man?
No, I did not.
Well, that's the latest thing happening on there. So we got a big, big show lined up for you guys. Stick and stay with me, it's your boy FSP and JTATM Money. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's time. It's time to speak about A-Roid.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports, like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others? Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of fantasy sports and politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.com. .web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focused on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archive, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Yes, yes. Information, motivation, variety. That will be us, Fantasy Sports and Politics, Saturday edition, myself and JTATM Money, my co-host with the most.
Yes, sir.
Got to give him praise because Jerry is a very integral part of everything we do here. I have to admit that he is my right-hand man, and right beside him is my boy, Mike Wright, a.k.a.
Mike?
Black.
Mike is on the money, man.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Money man Mike.
Credit. And also, our Hebrew Hammer. And I love that name.
Hebrew Hammer.
He came up with it.
Yep.
Jeff Goldberg. They've been here from the beginning. You know, well, not the beginning, but very, very near the beginning. And they stayed for quite some years, and we've welcomed and said goodbye to several people. But right now we still have Sylvia and Mac in the fold. I just want to thank you very much for all that you do, and I appreciate it. And the fact that I get to beat you in fantasy football. I'm going to find a way to beat you in fantasy baseball. I don't have my mom helping me.
I'm telling you, Victor, you guys, you know, if I could just get my two pitchers that have been hurt for the longest back, you guys are in serious trouble. My everyday ball player lineup is got all-stars from top to bottom. I can't believe that the players I have from top to bottom, and even guys I'm trying to decide who from week to week that are on the bench and I'm trying, day to day. Guys that I'm trying to put on that are all stars. They're very good players. So, you guys, I don't understand these guys in this league.
Well,
they get scared away by media hype about players, especially Major League Baseball players, and the threat of suspension. Well, Major League Baseball can, and I know you're going to lead into this, so I'm just going to leave it real quick. Don't believe the hype. I'll leave it like that because I know what you want to go into. So I just say, just don't believe the hype.
Okay, Flavor Flav. I'm Chuck D. You're Flavor Flav. Don't. And don't play that tomorrow. Don't play it tomorrow. Anyway.
Man. You never know.
you know these are copyrighted songs that you're playing, and we're not paying anybody, so it comes all out of your pockets if we get hit. But anyway.
I don't play the whole song. I just play short
excerpts. But your role of your roid or rod is somewhat defined by Brian Cashman. Take a listen, and then I want you to comment directly after that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say he's going to DH. He'll play third. He'll have days off. He'll be on the days off. He'll be available as a pinch hitter. Again, all of it, all of what he had been doing prior to the injury.
Okay. Like I said before, you guys in the league and have listened to all the hype that these guys are getting 100, 150 game bans. And then you've also listened to the other side saying, hey, they can get these bans, but if the players decide to appeal, these things probably won't be heard, or even the suspensions probably won't be until next season, which is 2014. So when you leave guys out there, devalue them because you think they're going to get suspended, you're doing yourself a disservice if you play fantasy baseball of leaving these guys either trading them away cheaply or leaving them sitting on the bench or sitting in waiver wire thinking that, well, he's useless. He's not going to be – he may not be the same player, but A-Rod coming back, he's had surgery, so he's had a long rehab, and he's made the necessary steps to be able to come back to play Major League Baseball. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be A-Rod of the old, but any portion of what A-Rod was last year, and he was hurting, and he hit, what, 18 homers, give or take? And now this is the second half of the season. I'll take 18 homers at least from A-Rod if he's even partial of what he was last year when he was hurting. Now he's supposed to be healthy and he's going to be playing. And I got to believe to have somebody sitting on the waiver wire and all this hype going along that nobody but myself would take a chance to pick him up is mind-boggling to me, and that's why I picked him up for nothing, absolutely nothing. Just picked him up. He's going to be in my lineup when he starts playing. I guarantee you that. And when you see my lineup with A-Rod in it, with Hanley Ramirez, Giancarlo Stanton, Juan Segura, Carlos Gomez, Bryce Harper, just Yadier Molina, who's contending for the MVP in the National League. If I get any kind of pitching, the league's in trouble. That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, are you okay? I'm
so excited because the fact is, like, I got a guy that I think is going to have a surprising season. Everybody's downplaying this guy. Everybody think he's not going to be all that. And this is A-Rod. I understand he's older. I understand he's coming off an injury, but it's not like he's rushing back. It's a nine-month process he's going through. It's not like he rushed through these games. He's played games in different levels of baseball, and he's gotten progressively better from the first time he started at A-ball up until the last one he played in Wilkes-Barre on Scranton. So,
well, Jerry,
yeah.
I'm asking, are you okay? Because you keep patting yourself on the back so much. I just want to make sure you don't have big palm and bruises.
No. I'm not patting myself on the back. What I'm saying is this. Basically, is what I'm saying is, don't believe the hype. When I said don't believe the hype, the league vetoed it, and it probably was better off that they vetoed it, not because it would have gotten to me, but because the fact is I think I'm in a better position because I didn't get Ryan Broder and would have given up too much for that. But if a player is out there, one of these guys, and supposedly they're involved in this biogenesis, and you're scared away because they're going to get suspended. Okay, there's a possibility to get suspended, but don't leave them sitting out there for somebody else. Grab them. If you got a spot on your roster, grab them. What do you have to lose?
Well,
that's my point.
I agree with you. Even though I traded you Bryce Harper because he was hurt at the time, I traded away Ryan Braun to another person. But I got great value for my trades. I'm not worried about that so much because I also got Milky Cabrera, who's also on that list. And I picked him up off of waivers, just like you. And he should be back, I think, today or tomorrow. And he's still a big bat. I have him and Bautista, the two big sticks in Toronto. Although Cabrera is more consistent as far as batting average goes, you know, I think that you have a valid point. However, with the season halfway over and having to make those tough decisions of, okay, well, I've used this guy this long. He's been consistent for me. Do I have time or cushion enough to go away from this player just to pick up this player to be back in, like, a week or two? That's something some people think about. But, however, I agree with you that there are some gems out there that nobody's getting. And right now, there are some players I want to get, but I'm not going to get because I'm loaded at that position. You know, the position I really need help at, there aren't too many good players out there. So, that's all I wanted to say about that.
I have been targeting, and I was hoping nobody would take him. I've been targeting A-Rod for close to a month that I'm going to pick this guy up. I know exactly where I'm going to put him in my lineup. I have the flexibility of a couple of players that have multiple eligibility and positions. So I figured, you know what? When he becomes eligible, I'm going to slot him in his one position that he is. I can move other guys around and still be able to not put him on the bench, have him be useful, and then we'll see what happens. Because in my opinion, don't mean squat. Just in my opinion, that he's going to surprise a lot of people because everybody thinks he's not going to do that well. But he's going to surprise a lot of people.
I think he will as well, and I think you'll see an uptick in a lot of the Yankees' bats as well because, you know, Cano doesn't have to carry the burden anymore by himself. And, you know, all Ichiro is even hitting better now. I mean, it's a miracle what having superstar players in your lineup can do. You look A-Rod, not A-Rod, but Jeter is back on the 15-8 disabled list. You know, when he was coming off in that one game he played, everybody else picked their game up just a little bit. Grandison will be back soon, if I'm not mistaken. But the problem is he's already on somebody's team. I was trying to get him, but he's already on somebody's team. But, you know, the Yankees are going to be back in business in a little bit. Right now they're sitting in third place in the AL East behind Boston and Tampa Bay. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I wanted to get off of that real quick and jump into the British Open. There are some people that are looking good. Some people aren't looking so good. But here's the latest update as of 12:45 p.m. Eastern on the British Open.
With a major golf update, I'm Tom Rivers in London. You gotta love this. Tiger and Westwood going head-to-head on the back nine on moving day at Muirfield. Both are playing level par today. Tiger's approach, be in a position come Sunday.
I'm not going to win every major I plan. I can try and put myself there, and I give myself enough opportunities that I'll get my share. I think I have so far in my career.
Career-wise, this is Tiger's best shot in 5 years. Tom Rivers, ABC Sports.
With every turn in this roller coaster campaign, this is...
All right. That's enough of that. So, the focus is Tiger. Tiger, last I checked, was in second place, tied for second in the British Open. He's in striking distance, but the statistic, because we deal with numbers here, is that Tiger does well in Masters the first two rounds. The last two, the third and fourth rounds, lately just halted. What do you see happening in the British Open, and what do you see the future of Tiger Woods and this British Open?
I think he's going to win. I honestly think he's going to win.
Really?
I think he's got his confidence. I mean, everybody, you know, I know it's Tiger, and they expect a Tiger moment every time he goes out in every one of these tournaments. I think he just had a bad run in the last tournament, and I think I don't think once he has the lead, I don't think he's going to give it up. He may get tied. I don't think he's going to lose it. I think he's going to win this tournament. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. It'll be one step closer to the Golden Bears' reign. So we'll see what happens with Tiger Woods and the rest of the field. Rory McIlroy is disappointed in all that he did not accomplish, even though he had a chance to make some headway. You know, so there's some folks out there that still have a good chance. We'll see what happens. Now, on to another subject matter. Kind of breezing right through everything else here. I want to give a big shout-out to Kevin and Rock Radio. Possibly.
Who's that?
Quite possibly.
Who's that?
Well, it might be a group that might start streaming us.
Okay.
So I'm very hopeful that they'll pick up all the shows and do that. But Rock Radio Promotions and Productions and all that good stuff. I have a gentleman that has an NFLPA license. You understand what I'm saying? NFLPA license to promote and sell NFLPA products. This gentleman also, yes, is his production company, and his shows are sponsored by the NFLPA, along with Microsoft,
along with
several other major companies. So, and it was just by chance that I got this because Blackhead sent me a link for it, and we were pretty much asking the same thing of each other, but it turns out we can work together in one form or fashion. It just depends on what... if they like us or not. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do, all the language. But back on track here. The NCAA is getting hit with a lawsuit for concussions for its athletes.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Check this out.
The trainers immediately came out.
Lawyers who filed on behalf of several former athletes 2 years ago say that including thousands of plaintiffs could change college sports forever. Concussions have become a major issue in sports. The NFL is mired in a lawsuit involving more than 4,000 former players seeking millions of dollars for problems they blame on head injuries. The NCAA could face a similar situation. The suit cites an NCAA survey from 2010 in which nearly half the college trainers responding indicated they put players with signs of a concussion back in the same game. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
So, JT, these guys start suing them, then the NCAA is going to have to dish out more than the money that athletes have been asking for in stipends. The bigger issue is the concussion factor. I mean, you have young kids, not just football, but you got lacrosse, hockey, to some extent baseball, but they don't have collisions at the plate in college baseball. Wrestling, you know, just imagine if this suit, you know, takes it or makes it to the level that a judge actually rules or arbitrator actually rules that they're going to have to pay these kids. What do you think? Is it cheaper to just go ahead and give these kids a $2,500 stipend like the Big Ten was going to do, or fight it out and see what happens? Because concussions are a serious, serious matter.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't think it makes a difference between the stipends or not. I mean, the stipends are given to current players. If you got former players, that stipend's not going to do anybody any good. So that's a former player. that's not going to do a former player any good. When you told me that, when you brought that up, the first person, the absolutely first person I thought about when you said that was Jabbar Best.
Yeah.
That was the absolute first person.
How many did he have before he got to line? Like three concussions before he got to line?
He had two or three, at least two concussions that we know of that is documented that he had it in college. If I'm not mistaken, at least two concussions. Now, God knows how many other ones he may have had that the trainer or whatever or Jabbar Best knows that he received when he was in college. But I think he only got two, and they were relatively close together when in college that he got. So when you said that, that was the first person that came to my mind in college football. And concussions. If it's a serious issue, you know how because these guys aren't getting paid, because they're out there pretty much. It's just a meat market. They push these guys out there. If he can't push, they can't play. The coach just, and I hate to say it like this, but in essence, he just tosses them aside and puts the next piece of meat out there to perform. And hopefully get a bowl bid, and hopefully get a deal with the coach and all whatever the school makes and the conference makes off these players. So I go back to this. I go back to a Malcolm X quote: "The chickens have come home to roost." All right, meaning that you dog these players out up to a certain point. With the threat of not playing, with the threat of not going to the NFL, you push these guys out there that shouldn't be out there because of concussions or whatever other injuries. This has to do with concussions. Now it's coming back home to roost that because now it's become a big issue, especially in the NFL, and especially filtering down to the, lack of a better word, lower ranks, college and high school. Things are like this are going to happen. I'm not even going to be surprised if this doesn't filter down to the high school level, where you're going to start seeing more and more players or former players or parents of former players suing schools or school districts because of what happened to their kids, if it's a football player or whoever. That can sustain concussion or multiple concussions. That the kids got all kinds of physiological problems because of it. So you know, this is just another can of worms open up, and it's not going away anytime soon.
I agree with you. Money talks.
Mm-hmm.
And once it starts talking, a lot of people start listening. So the NCAA, they're going to have to find some way to deal with it. And Jabbar Best is a very good example. I didn't even think of him when
That's the first person I thought of when you said that.
Yeah, I mean, he has six concussions in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
His career's over. Detroit cut him this week. Probably not going to get another opportunity to do that. A new player that I thought about when I saw this soundbite was Monty Ball. Ball had like two major concussions in college.
I did not know that.
Concussion. Yes, two major concussions.
Wow, I did not know that.
And now he goes to Denver without two. And he's going to get banged around a lot. So he might be your next Jabbar Best. So anyway, let me. Well, yeah, anything else you want to throw in that before I close it out?
What's that?
Do you have anything else you want to say about that before I close it out?
Well, I didn't realize that Monty Ball had multiple concussions in college. I mean, usually if a running back, and not always, but I'm not surprised that a running back may have sustained a concussion. I didn't know he had two major concussions when he was in college. Hopefully they weren't in the same season. They were spread out quite a bit, and not to downplay it, a concussion, but it makes a big difference whether you had a concussion, two major ones in one season versus spread out over two or three seasons. That's a big difference. So I don't know if he had them in the same season or if he had them spread out throughout one or two other seasons or what. That's worth noting, that worth seeing what happens, because if he gets the boatload of the carries, and even if he doesn't get the boatload of carries, how susceptible he'll be to a concussion in the National Football League, where they do hit a lot harder.
Sorry about that, JC. Sorry about that. Anyway, yeah, Monty Ball had a couple concussions prior to joining the NFL. I believe he set out a big game that they had. I think it was to get, I think it was against Illinois that he set out because of the concussion.
Okay.
Came back. I'm not sure if he played in the bowl game or not, but I know he set out a big game versus Illinois. And because of the concussion he had the prior week. And that was this past season. So, and another person I thought about, or just thought about, is a slot receiver from the Indianapolis Colts. Mr. Oh my gosh, I just had his name on the tip of my tongue.
You're not talking about Collie, are you?
Collie, yeah.
Collie.
Collie's trying to get back in the league. Collie's trying to get back in the league after having like four or five concussions in the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He seems like the type of guy that, excuse me, it shouldn't play in the NFL. He's not built physically to play in the NFL and very susceptible. I think each one he has probably gives him even more susceptibility of getting another concussion. So, I'm surprised that any team will give him a shot to try to get in. I mean, I know they take physicals, and I don't know how intense the physicals are, but I would imagine if he's one of these guys that's had multiple concussions, that his physical's got to be a lot more critical than someone else's. And the team that eventually, if they do sign him, is taking a huge risk.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Very huge risk.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, is there anything you want to say about your boys, A-Roid or the NCAA or Tiger Woods or anything before we kick off?
All I got to say is this. Mr. Alex Rodriguez, you endured the rehab for the several months that you had. You endured the criticism of last year this year.
Are you making a plea?
Wait a minute.
For him?
No, I'm not making a plea. Just okay. Hear me out.
Okay.
I see you endured a lot of abuse that a lot of players a lot of other players that have gone through what you have gone through have not been under the scrutiny, have not been under the some of the vile things that have been said about you, and you've stayed above board for the most part. You've been less tolerated than other players, because of your name and because of the salary you make, which is fine. You are what you work, what a team say you are worth. You're coming back. I expect you to play well. A lot of people are expecting you to fail, or want you to fail, which is a shame. And I do believe, and I really believe this, even though Brian Cashman and the Yankee organization is accepting him back, I think they are wishing him to fail.
That was my tiny violin.
No,
wrap
no,
it
I'm
up,
just.
Wrap
I think
it
they.
Up.
Okay, I think they wish him to fail. I don't expect you to fail. So good luck. Welcome to my team. That's all I have to say.
Oh my God, you need that Dave Chappelle wrap it up thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to hit it real quick, and we're going to see what Jerry thinks about my latest fantasy football team I just drafted. Here we go. Go!
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat to the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Demolition Derby. Here we go.
Ooh, it's going to be a long day for somebody. I love that, man. When that guy says that, and
go.
I love that guy's
yeah.
voice. Oh, man, he is the perfect voice for that.
Okay, that sounds kind of...
I'm psyched up, man. When
Michael Jackson.
I hear that, it just sends chills up and down my spine about football, man. I love football.
Here's my addiction, and I'm going to say it. My name is Victor LaFontaine Gardner Jr., and I am a fantasy football addict. My wife told me I have a problem with gambling, but I just say it's competition. I love what I do, and I do what I love. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's fantasy football time. We're going to break down the NFC East in this portion, as well as the latest team that addict just drafted. You ready, JT?
Yeah.
All right, with the first overall pick in a Pick Pro Performer Yahoo Fantasy League, I selected.
Mm-hmm.
AP.
What else is new?
Well, I was going to get Arian because I think he has an easier schedule, but I couldn't. I just couldn't pull the trigger. Now, do you want to go over the entire team, or do you want to go in the order in which I drafted?
Go over the entire team. I have an idea. Once you start telling me the people, I have an idea where you may draft them. Go ahead.
All right. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Rodgers, Wes Welker, Mike Wallace, Steve Smith, Adrian Peterson, Maurice Jones-Drew, Vernon Davis, Robert Griffin III, Kenny Britt, Jonathan Stewart, Justin Blackmon, Zach Stacy, Santana Moss, Blair Walsh, and the Houston Texans defense.
All right, give me your running backs again. AP, MJD, and who else?
Yeah, they suck.
No, AP, MJD, and who else?
A-team, okay, Zach Stacy and Jonathan Stewart. Zach Stacy, I believe, is going to steal that job from St. Louis. Even though Daryl Richardson is a pretty good player, I think Zach Stacy is going to steal that job. So I just got him just in case, because he's going to be a goal line back.
Give me your wide receivers: Welker, Mike Wallace, Santana Moss.
Steve
who
Smith.
Else? Steve Smith.
Steve Smith.
Okay.
Kenny mm-hmm. Britt, Justin Blackmon, and Santana. I'll tell you, Santana Moss was my very last pick. So, you know, Santa Moss. Because he's RG3's favorite target. Outside of Pierre Desson.
Tight end,
Vernon Davis.
And you had the number one pick here.
And I had the number one pick.
Is there, who do you have as a kicker? Kickers count too? Who?
Blair Walsh, Minnesota kicker.
Okay. So you have A-Rod and RG3 as your quarterback. Oh,
yep.
My God. Wow. Okay. AP, MJD.
Hold on. I got RG3 in the ninth round.
In the ninth round?
Yep.
Okay. I can see that. Let me see now. It looks like you picked AP first, what you said. You probably picked Aaron Rodgers second.
Okay.
And then you went with, I would say you probably went with Wes Welker in the third round. Am I right about that?
No. I went...
Okay.
I went HD.
Oh, you meant MJD. You must have went MJD in the third round.
No, no. MJD second. Rogers in third.
Okay.
So
okay.
Remember, I had,
okay.
I had back-to-back picks, so...
Okay, that's right. What do you mean you had back-to-back? Oh, that, yeah, going into the last of the second
third
round, you had back-to-back. But, so you mean to tell me you picked up AP first, and then with
mm-hmm.
the 20th pick, you picked up MJD and then picked up Aaron Rodgers or vice versa?
Yes. MJD, then Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
The reason why I did that is because there were a few backs I was waiting on because I didn't think they deserved to be the second round, but all the elite backs, I had Matt Forte lined up. He got snapped
mm-hmm.
Two players ahead of me. Then I was like, okay, well, let me get Steven Jackson. And Steven Jackson went right ahead of me. So I was
mm-hmm.
like, you know what, it's only one solid stud running back out there. He's looking to prove a point. And that was MJD. He's in a contract
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Chad Henne's going to win that job, and that's going to help MJD out a lot. So I got him, and then I had a choice, because sitting at that pick, at number 20, I had Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and MJD. So I knew I was getting 2 out of 3.
Wow.
I knew I was going to get 2 out of 3.
Wow. So you're telling me that in this league, the scoring for a passing touchdown is only 4 points?
Yeah, only 4.
Okay, okay.
I was going to wait longer, but, you know, I think Rodgers is going to get more than his share to make up for those 4 points.
Wow. Wow. You know, your weak point, you know what your weak point is. I mean you got two good running backs, but if one of those guys go down, you got problems on a running.
Yeah,
back.
I know.
You have good wide receivers. You got Welker, Mike Wallace, Steve Smith. You have one, two, three, four, five.
All of them except for Wallace. I mean, all of them except for Welker are the go-to guys. But
yes.
Welker will be the go-to guy. He just might not get the touchdowns. He'll get the yards. He'll get the receptions. He just might not get the touchdowns.
Steve Smith is one. Justin Blackman is one. Kenny Britton is one. Santana Moss, isn't Pierre Garçon the number one in Washington?
Yes. Yes, but Santana had 12 touchdowns last year.
Okay. Yeah, but he only had 12 touchdowns because Pierre Garçon was in and out of the lineup and he was hurt.
Correct. Well, even when he was in there, Santana was the third down. He was the third down. He was the Wes Welker. Let me put it that way. He was the Wes
mm-hmm.
Welker that RG3 went looking for. And even when Kirk Cousins was in, he went to Santana before he went to Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a gamble. But, again, if it doesn't work out, I'm cool with it because he's a bye week player anyway.
Is this two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, and a quarterback?
No. Quarterback, three wide, two running back, one tight end. Kicker, defense.
My suggestion to you is to take one of those wide receivers and try to turn him into a running back.
Him off.
Absolutely.
I was trying to get Run DMC. I might just get Run DMC.
Yeah.
But it depends on if he's willing to part with him.
Well, you can play that Run DMC. It usually hurts 6 or 7 games each year. You can say that, Oakland's going to suck.
Well, that's why the value of that receiver for a running back is pretty even in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, you know, let's say I were to give up Welker, right? If I were to give up Welker, that will probably be the same value of Run DMC because Welker might not score that much, but he'll get the yard. He'll get receptions.
Is this a PPR?
No, it's standard. It's standard.
Okay.
You know what? Let me look at the settings real quick. My dog's having an issue right now. Let me go to the settings real quick. scoring and setting. There is receptions. Nope, it's just touchdowns and yards.
Okay.
Touchdowns and yards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a point every 10 yards. So.
All right. So, my suggestion is, you know, try to go cheap. I wouldn't try to give up Welker because I think he's gonna have a pretty good year. I would probably go, I don't know. I mean, you probably could try Kenny Britt or maybe,
The thing is, I would need to get a decent back and Kenny Britt until Jake Locker shows that he's a decent quarterback.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Kenny Britt's going to be his target. It's not going to be worth it. But,
it may be for Run DMC. I mean, I don't know if the guy you target in Run DMC is weak in wide receivers. If he is, he may jump at it.
He is.
Yeah. Well, if he is, he may jump at it.
He's a wide receiver. So, like, I just close it out. But his wide receivers are like number twos and number threes, and they're starting on his team. So, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never know. You never know. I mean, if he's got a plethora of you like that word. He's got a plethora of running backs, and he can afford get rid of Run DMC for a number one wide receiver on somebody's team.
Well, on his bench, he has Frank Gore, Run DMC, and another running back. So he's looking at trade.
What? Well, who's he at starting?
I gotta go back and see. I think it's Marshawn Lynch and CJ Spiller, but let me check.
Ooh.
But that's the thing. He needs. But see, he loaded up on that, but he needs a kicker. He didn't draft the kicker, and he didn't draft the defense.
Well, the
kicker is
Yeah, that's no big deal. So I mean, you can always pick up a defense. He's probably going to stream a defense each week. That's what it sounds like that he's going to do.
Yeah,
and he's probably going to do the same thing with a kicker. So.
But that's dangerous. That's dangerous in my book.
Well, not.
A defense can make or break you. And let me read his roster, okay? His roster is a pretty good roster, but he's picked to go 6-8. I was picked to finish 10-4. But he has Colin Kaepernick, Danny Amendola, Cecil Short, Jeremy Maclin, C.J. Spiller, Frank Gore, Greg Olson, James Jones, Matt Forte, Darren McFadden, Jared Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, Matt Shaw, Mike Vick, and Zach Sudfeld. So, no kicker, no defense.
He's got to get it. Yeah. So if you dangle Welker or out there, I don't know if you want to part with Mike Wallace, but if you dangle Welker,
I'll probably go with
Steve
Smith. I'd probably go with Steve Smith.
Yeah, and I'd go. I ask Steve Smith for Frank Gore first, and then go down to McFadden. If he rejects that, then I go with McFadden.
Now he moved Forte to his bench and put Frank Gore in the starting lineup.
Well, that makes
Well,
like I said, you know. I put an email out there. I got Steve Smith. What's one of your running backs will you give me for Steve Smith?
And go from
there and see what happens.
That's what I'm going to do anyway.
Yeah,
but it's time to move on, young man. Time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a nice lineup, but you definitely need you definitely need help in running back. It's a real good lineup, but you need help in running back.
The backups. My backups.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking Jonathan Stewart will have a decent year this year because
he needed to do that two or three seasons ago, and he still hasn't done it. So
I know. But being the goal line back, you know, I took a shot at him. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I know for sure. Cam has nobody to throw to other than Steve Smith. So, I mean, he doesn't even throw the ball to Greg Olson that much. But that's what we got.
Well,
let's move on, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, wait a minute. Before we move on, I'm gonna ask you, how many leagues are you in now? Paying leagues.
Paying leagues?
Yeah.
One.
Truthfully.
Two, three. I'm counting.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four. I don't count number eight because number eight is like, well, yeah, I paid for it. So, eight paid leagues.
Eight paid leagues. Eight paid leagues.
13 total.
13 leagues, eight of them are pay. So a little bit more than half of them, majority of them are pay leagues.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Not. Yeah, it is.
That's a lot, Victor.
But only, be quiet, only two of them are high value. The other ones, the other six equal out to the cost of the ESPN league, so I'm not really...
You know that sounds like someone trying to justify, you know what I'm about to say, right?
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. I heard it from her this morning,
mm-hmm.
So, you know. But, you know,
is that it? Is that the cutoff
now?
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because a few times I've heard, I've seen on Facebook, I can't stop the itch, and you keep drafting. So that's what I'm asking you. Is this it, or is that it's going to happen again?
As far as funding or as far as just drafting?
Both.
Well, funding.
More of funding. Let me put it that way. More of getting into leagues.
No.
Okay.
No. Because
I think I'm close to you. Let me see now. One. I'm seeing. Let me have me a one. Two.
Come on, you're eating up.
Three.
Look,
four. Five.
On one team.
Six. I have six.
Oh, you're a baby. Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather be a baby than a big boy and a poor big boy, but that's okay.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be poor because mm-hmm. I've won my share. I'm going to win some more this year. Keep smoking that ganja. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time
it's good ganja.
To get to our breakdown, whatever. Breakdown segment. We're going to start off with those very downright nasty Dallas Cowboys. Here we go. All right. Oh, we were supposed to play. It didn't play. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Dallas.
There we go.
Dallas Cowboys. Enemy line, according to SI, what a rival coach says. I have reservations about Tony Romo's ability to play in big games. That aside, he has put up decent numbers. He's a talented and accomplished quarterback. I don't think the Cowboys have a dominant offensive line, even when they are healthy. But certainly last year they got banged up a bit and it hurt them. DeMarco Murray is a capable back, and he and the rookie Joseph Randle are invaluable to Tony Romo. If Dallas can have a sound and productive running game, it'll help them. Every year, Dez Bryant is going to get better, much with regard to his maturation in the professional game as anything else. He'll continue to be a matchup problem for people. He has a rare combination of size and speed. Certainly, they fed him. He gets lots of opportunities to get his hands on the football, and he's produced. Bryant killed us last year, and we put our best corner on the guy. He's a big target and plays big. Miles Austin is a solid receiver. I don't want to downplay his worth to the Cowboys, but is a guy you have to game plan against? Probably not. Because Bryant is such a factor, I think it helps Austin in his production. He fares well because he takes advantage of the fact that he gets a lot of single coverage. He game plan for Jason Witten at one time. I don't know if we do that anymore. Is he a capable tight end? Absolutely. Is he productive? Yes. He's not quite as fleet of foot as he was 5 years ago. They drafted Gavin Escobar. If they use him and Witten at the same time, it'll give Romo a chance to hobble out of a certain place that's plausible, but in the long run, they're probably looking for Witten's replacement. Sleeper, DeMarco Murray, but Miles Austin. Their potential starting lineup, Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, DeMarco Murray being third down and goal linebacker, Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, Dwayne Harris, Terrence Williams, then a tight end, Jason Witten, kicker Dan Bailey, J.J. Kinmoney. What do you got to say about what the enemy lines coach had to say?
Tony Romo is going to have a, I wouldn't say breakout season, but a typical Tony Romo season. I think he's going to probably throw for over 5,000 yards. I truly believe that. The play calling reins are no longer in Jason Garrett's hands. Bill Callahan's going to be calling the plays. I think he's going to put the playmakers in better positions than Jason Garrett, and maybe a little bit more imaginative than Jason Garrett was. And in all the talk that Tony Romo has been more involved, and I'm surprised he wasn't before, more involved in the play calling of the in the offense. So we'll see how that pans out. Dez Bryant, I expect him to explode this year as long as he stays healthy. And that includes also Miles Austin, who's very unsung and very explosive player once he is healthy. Tony Romo's got extremely good options to go to, including the tight end, Jason Witten, which is his go-to guy when all else fails. Key here, DeMarco Murray. Got to stay healthy, got to be on the field to be able to perform the way we know he can perform when he's healthy.
All right. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and go down this schedule here. Open up at home with the Giants, and they go to Kansas City, home for St. Louis, at San Diego, home for Denver, home for Washington, at Philly, at Detroit, home for Minnesota, at New Orleans, and this will help them. They have a bye week late in the season. Then they come back off of that bye week at the Giants, home for Oakland, at Chicago, home for Green Bay, at Washington, and they finish the season up home for Philadelphia.
Tough last four games.
What? I know, dude. Well, tough last six games. Actually, I mean, Oakland might not be that big of a slouch that everybody thinks, but...
But they're playing them home, so that makes a difference.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, JTAT and Money.
Well, this is going to be an ongoing theme. 8-8.
It's an ongoing theme. You know what? We finally agree.
Wow.
I think it's going to be tough sledding for them. Being a Redskins fan, you know, I'm kind of partial to wanting to sweep them, but I don't know if they'll sweep them this year. It depends on what our defense looks like, because their offense is pretty loaded. It's just Will Claiborne and Lee and all those other guys show up on the Cowboys' defense. The first time we played them on Thanksgiving last year, and I'm looking at that game right now, they were using third-string receivers with Dez Bryant. We blew them out, but we also let them get back into the game. That final game of the season that we beat them, they were, you know, full of all their players, and it was a very competitive game. But it was at home. So we did sweep them. But like you said, the last six games, you got the Giants at the Giants. We're going to skip over Oakland. Then you go to Chicago in the dead of winter. You know, you're home for Green Bay, who's fighting for a division title with the last, you know, third of the games of the season. Then you come to Washington, that conceivably could be for the division title. And you finish home at Philadelphia, who I think is going to be vastly improved. But, you know, again, they start off not so easy. Kansas City's not going to be a pushover. You know, they don't really have a pushover game. But I will say this. on October 27th, that game versus Detroit is going to probably be the highest scored game in the NFL this year. I really think so.
Are you buying into my Detroit Lions?
No. So I'm not sure they're going to score a lot, but give me what you think.
Well, I told you. I thought they're going to be an 8-8 team. And those last six games, I see them winning in Oakland and possibly the last game against in Philly. But this is not an easy schedule. They start off with the Giants, and there's a lot of teams that have something to prove. Chicago, New Orleans, Detroit, Philadelphia. These teams have something to prove. Had disappointing seasons last year. They have something to prove, including San Diego, Kansas City, and St. Louis. So these guys coming up against the Dallas Cowboys are going to have the hands full. The Dallas Cowboys are going to have the hands full because there's a lot of teams that, for one reason or another, didn't go where they wanted to go last year and have a lot to prove. So. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right. But I think 8-8 is apropos for the Cowboys. And Jerry said 8-8 is not going to cut it this year.
Nope.
8-8 is not going to cut it. So bye-bye, Mr. Garrett. Hello, Mr. Callahan. That's a strategic move. You put them in place so that the system that the guy runs and the mentality and the authority that Callahan has will be there. And, you know, I think Tony Romo, it's not his fault. I don't think it's his fault. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. Hall of Fame quarterback? No. He has better numbers than all of the quarterbacks in Dallas Cowboys history, though. That says something. You know, when you don't have a Troy Aikman, I mean, when you don't have a Michael Irvin and an Emmitt Smith, or you got Jason Witten, but Jay Novacek, you know, so it says something.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. All right. Let's go somewhere else where I know you have a New York state of mind. Let's talk about those New York football Giants. Begin. Welcome to the SI enemy line. What a rival coach says. I have to still put Eli Manning in the elite category, but he didn't have an elite year last year. Certainly, he's got to have a cast around him that helps him. I don't think the pressure of any game during the season is too big for him because he's played in big games and won big games. The Giants hope they can give Ryan Nezib time to learn the system and mature. We don't have that luxury with every organization. If you do, probably better for the young quarterback in the long run. They're already looking to replace him. That's what this person says. That's what I got from that. David Wilson didn't concern me. He was a good back, but nothing special. I'm sure our team Knicks builds more chemistry with Manning because of Victor Cruz's holdout, even though we know Victor Cruz is in and Hakeem held out himself a little bit. I think Knicks is a good receiver in their offense. I think he'll be solid for them this year. He's a really productive player for them when he's healthy. He will be a guy you'd have to game plan around. He's an every down guy who's a reliable route runner. Very short-handed. Cruz and Manning have good chemistry together. On critical downs, when you have to get yards, it wouldn't surprise me if that's where Manning looks for it. And he does. Honestly, he looks for Cruz on third down. The Giants signed Lewis Murphy, and they needed a deep threat because Knicks and Cruz are good receivers, but they are not what I would consider home run threats. They needed a speed guy. The tight end is important to the Giants. If teams feel like they have a playman on Brandon Myers, then New York gets single coverage on the outside from the wide receivers. I assume the Giants will make the playoffs in the NFC East, but they'll have to fight tooth and nail. I really don't think this is a sleeper, but the bust they have this year is really surprising to me. Sleeper, Hakeem Nicks, bust. Eli Manning.
What?
That's what SI has. All right, all right, all right. Let's go down the depth chart real quick. Eli Manning starting quarterback. Ryan Nesbitt is the backup. Interesting, you know. David Wilson, who I think is going to surprise a lot of folks because he's a very speedy back. But no ball security means no job security. That's what Mr. Reese told him. So don't put the ball on the ground. Andre Brown is his backup. Andre Brown is also the third down and goal line back. Very valuable. Very valuable. Hakeem Nicks, starting wide receiver. Victor Cruz. Then Reuben Randall and Lewis Murphy. Lewis Murphy came over from the Oakland Raiders, by the way. The rookie Brandon Myers is scheduled to be the starter. And then Josh Brown, your former kicker for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think about what the interim coach said. And I mean, I'm surprised that they have Eli Manning listed as the bust.
Yeah, I mean,
they have.
Year in and year out, two Super Bowls, two MVP Super Bowl rings. How much more can this guy do to get the respect in the league, especially from supposedly rival coach that's pretty much downplaying all that Eli Manning has done since he's been with the Giants? How much has this rival coach, in quotation marks, done to say that that Eli Manning may be a bust, or that the Giants are won't be all that?
Oh, no, you misunderstand. It's not the rival coach that said Eli's going to be the bust. Sports Illustrated lists him as the bust.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'll put it this way. The media, okay, I'll reverse what I just said. The media, SI, where is in Eli Manning's DNA that he's going to be a bust in fantasy? I don't understand it. I think he threw for almost 5,000. I think he threw at least 4,000 yards last year. And what's going to change? Nothing. They run the same offense. They have the same weapons. They have the same offensive coordinator and the offensive philosophy. The only thing that's changed is the running back, which I think, just like you said, is being underestimated, in my opinion. I think he's an explosion waiting to happen every time he touches the ball, whether he gets a handoff or catches it out of the backfield. As long as he holds on to the ball, just like you said, Vic, he's going to be out there and he's going to be making plays and I think wowing people on what he does.
I just hope it's not against the Redskins.
Excuse me?
I just hope it's not against the Redskins.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be against a few people, and it's going to eventually any division opponent, and that's including the Redskins. That's all I got to say.
All right, all right, all right. So let's go over the schedule, shall we?
Go ahead.
At Dallas, Denver, at Carolina, at Kansas City, Philly, at Chicago, Minnesota, at Philly. Then they have a bye week. Oakland, Green Bay, Dallas, all at home, by the way, at Washington, at San Diego, Seattle, at Detroit, and finishing up the season home versus the Redskins. I think they got a brutal schedule. I'll be honest with you. Even though these teams were the same teams, it's when you play them. And, you know, they get a bye week in the middle of the season, which isn't bad. But then they come back and play Green Bay, Dallas, Washington twice, Seattle, Detroit, San Diego and Oakland. I'm not going to, you know, put too much pressure on. But in the beginning part of the season, they go to Dallas and Denver back-to-back, you know. Then they play Philly, Chicago, and Minnesota, and Philly again, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Kansas City and Carolina, maybe. So I think you're right, parity. I might even give him 7-9.
Well, you give him 7-9, and like I said, there's a recurring theme here. And my recurring theme is also here, as I said, in the Dallas Cowboys, 8-8.
I mean, it's feasible.
8-8.
I'll tell you why. I tell you why. It might be 7-9, more leaning on that side, because if David Wilson gets banged around and he does put that ball on the ground, Andre Brown is a good back, but Andre Brown gets hurt. Andre Brown is a very good back, but he gets hurt, you know?
Yes.
That's part of the problem for Andre Brown. And after him, you know, you got Darrell Scott and a rookie, Michael Cox. So I don't know what to say about that. I really don't. And outside of Hakeem and Victor, you know, Lewis Murphy is a fast guy. Got it. But there's a reason why he's along with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to give him up. You know, if you don't stay with the Raiders and you've got speed, there's a reason why.
Sure is.
Especially when the Raiders are built on speed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I see there. All right, bro. We got about 20 minutes left alive there. And we're going to do these real good. So we've got one more team to go to. Let's take that trip down I-95.
We got two more.
To the, I know. But I'm going to another team.
Okay.
Let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Here we go. Let's go down to those enemy lines and what a rival coach says. Under Coach Chip Kelly, the Eagles will be in a no-huddle offense the majority of the time. That's what Kelly did in Oregon, and I know he wants to bring that style to the NFL. He's going to try to be similar from a tempo standpoint to Peyton Manning in Denver. That's dangerous. Michael Vick had a tough year last year. Some of it was his fault, and some of it wasn't. I think as the season went on, he tried to press a little, and he probably threw some balls he wishes he had back. He's still a dangerous quarterback. He's got a very strong arm. He can still run. His issue will be how fast he can process his new offense. If he can get the nuances down, they'll probably go to Vic to have a shot at it and hope to succeed. If he doesn't, Nick Foles can come in. They'll have to run the ball just to have some balance against the pass. But I don't think they're going to be a running team. Kelly will tilt more toward throwing the football. LeSean McCoy will get the bulk of the carries when they do run. He is quick in his hiccup. He can be a game breaker. A guy who can outrun people. He's got great speed. The flavor of the games are going to dictate that too. With McCoy and Jeremy Macklin, the Eagles have some scary talent. DeSean Jackson is a game breaker. Jason Avant is a capable, sure-handed guy. He doesn't scare me from a speed standpoint, but he's a tough physical receiver for them. Does he force you to game plan for him? No. James Casey and Zach Ertz add depth. I would imagine Casey would be what you might call an H-back tight end. He can line up in the normal position, but also can go to the backfield and assume all the fullback roles. Sleeper Michael Vick bust DeSean Jackson. Now, I have a problem with him, but I'm going to go through this anyway. Depth chart. Mike Vick, Sean McCoy, Bryce Brown, Shady third down and goal line, Jeremy Macklin, DeSean Jackson, Jason Avant, Aurelius Ben, who I think is going to supplant Jason Avant, in my opinion. James Casey, who also I believe came from Houston, and Zach Ertz, tight end, but it's one person they're missing. I don't know where Selleck went or how Selleck fell out of favor, but Brent Selleck deserves to be on this, and I don't see why he is. Kicker, Alex Henry. So I'm going to make a couple comments on this breakdown, and then you can tell me what you think. One, Chip Kelly will bring back the run and shoot type of offense that made Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills very successful. Will they have the same type of success? I'm not sure. But I do believe that Barkley is more of an option or a threat than Nick Foles would be in that offense. So I don't see Nick Foles stepping in if something happens to Michael Vick, which inevitably it does. To that point, Mike Vick, in several drafts that I have gone and participated has waited to either the very last round or two rounds prior to the final round. And I understand why. I understand why, but I don't agree with it. I really don't agree with it. In an offense that will feature a passing slash running quarterback, and Mike Vick is very good at both of those things. And if they do have that play action where you're going to have somebody deep, DeSean Jackson is a speed burner, and so is Jeremy Maclin. So I don't see how Michael Vick ends up there. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, let me do this. I just did a draft just before we got on air. Michael Vick, I'm looking right now. Oh, God, I just lost it.
Probably in the waiver wire, isn't it?
I'm surprised that what you're just telling me, well, I'm not surprised that Michael Vick got picked that low. And I don't think he should be, but you're sleeping on a guy that in my opinion, is going to be just like he was a few years ago when he broke out a few years ago and exploded, and people either didn't draft him or he was drafted way down in the on a regular draft. And then he exploded and was one of the top fantasy players. In a recent draft I just did, and I'm just looking at it right now, Michael Vick, and this is probably a little high versus what you went through, was picked in the 11th round, which is in my opinion, if he turns out to be the starting quarterback, and I gotta think that people are premising picking Michael Vick in the in these drafts as if he was a starting quarterback, is a huge value picking up a starting quarterback in the 11th round with the potential of exploding in the Chip Kelly spread offense that he's going to be running. Portion of his offense is running in the league right now, and portions of that offense is doing well. And now he's going to have it full blown in Philly. I keep on saying it, until I'm proven wrong, that Philadelphia is going to surprise a lot of people. I really believe that. They got a lot of talent on that team, regardless of what happened over the last few years. They have a lot of talent on that team, especially on the offensive side. I think they may have turned things around, got rid of a few people on the defensive side that they needed to get rid of, and shored up the parts of defense that need to be shored up. I think they're going to fool a lot of people. But they're in a tough division and from top to bottom. So we'll see what happens with that.
I agree. Now, with that being said, let's go over the schedule real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Open up on the road at Washington, then home for San Diego, Kansas City, at Denver. Now, this is a bad part for them, I see, really.
Mm-hmm.
At Denver, at New York, at Tampa,
mm-hmm.
You know, then they come home for Dallas, home for the Giants, at Oakland, at Green Bay, home for the Redskins, then they get a bye week. Now, the last part isn't so hard, but it's not easy either.
Mm-hmm.
Home for Arizona, home for Detroit, at Minnesota, home for Chicago, and they finish up on the road at Dallas. Now, being the Redskins fan that I am, of course I'm going to pick the Redskins to beat them game one. And then I think they have a tough road to hoe, because I think they'll beat San Diego, they'll beat Kansas City. But they go to Denver, and they go to New York, they go to Tampa, and then they are home for Dallas, then home for New York again. That's tough. Then, you know, get a reprieve at Oakland. Then they go to Green Bay. And before the bye week, they're home against the Skins. Wow. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I see it. Wow. Yeah, 79-88. I mean, the Reds, in my opinion, the only team that's going to be above 500 this year.
Well, there's a recurring theme. I keep on saying it again, Victor. There's a recurring theme
Hold on,
in the
let me go
NFC
over this.
East. Huh?
One, two. Let me count it. One, two. Wow. Three, four, five, six. I think they'll beat us. Seven. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. 7-9, 8-8. Wow.
Like
yeah.
Like I said, and I'm looking at each one of these teams, and I'm saying the same thing. It's a recurring theme. I see Philadelphia in the NFC East 8-8.
Basically, what's going to happen is, based on what we're talking about, it's going to be just like the NFC South was last year. One team above 500, and that team was the number one seed. I'm not saying the Redskins will be the number one seed this year, but I think they're going to win the division. And it's going to be above 7-9, 8-8. Wow. Parity.
Yep.
Parity, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Parity in the NFL. Parity in the divisions. Parity in the opponents. Crazy. We got about 8 minutes left of live air, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to try to finish the Redskins. I don't think we're going to finish them live. However, I would like to do this before we get into the Redskins. And that is, thank you all for listening to our programs. July was a very good, or is a very good month for us. June was an outstanding month for us. I'm hoping to continue that trend, have you guys come back, and if someone decides to pick us up, they pick us up, and we shine and we keep doing what we do because we appreciate you. Every Sunday, 10 a.m., you can listen to The Master Plan right here, www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can also go to our website, which is fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, to listen to any episode that you might have missed, or see what's going on with all of our shows. See what's going on with us. But the big thing is, the information is there, we'll provide it, and whatever we can do for you, we'll do. And all we ask that you do is listen to us and support us. Find us some sponsors, too, will you? I'm looking for some sponsorship. But with that being said, JT, what you got cooking tomorrow?
Cooking tomorrow, like I started last week, I'm gearing up for fantasy football, and I'm starting off by preparing yourself for your draft. What you do's and the don'ts of your draft. So I started it last week, and I'm going to end it up this week. And in the following week, starting next Sunday, I'm going to be breaking down each position in fantasy football, starting July 28th in quarterbacks. And then every other every weekend after that, we'll be including the wide receivers, tight ends, and ending up in the last week, I think it's the August 18th, with the running backs. So tune in. It's going to be a lot of surprises. Some of the old stuff is going to be still the same, but there's going to be some surprises. I guarantee you that.
All right. Also, on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Time Out with Sylvia Crawley show. This week, Sylvia has the former CEO of McDonald's.
What?
Former CEO of, yes, former CEO of McDonald's on her show. The young lady or young lady's name escapes me right now. She's going to have a former CEO of McDonald's on the show, talk about her Time Out moment and what it is that brought her where she is. And, you know, maybe she might give me a free Big Mac or something. We'll see what happens with that. Then on Thursdays, you have FSP Crew Show. Jeff, Black, Jerry, they do their thing. I'm not sure if there's going to be a special guest or anything like that this week, but I know it's all leading up to football season. football season. Ladies and gentlemen, think about this. 2 weeks, the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony at
yes,
the
sir.
First preseason game.
Yes, sir.
First preseason game. Think about it. Think about that.
Football, so man. Football.
2 weeks.
Football, two man.
Weeks. Okay? So get your minds right. Get your bodies right. Then on Friday, you have Mac Williams with no Chasen. I'm not sure what the guest is this week, but I know he's leading up to a pinup model.
You know what? What are you doing August 9th?
August 9th, I might be at school.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what time my, I have no idea what time my class is going to be out, but if it's after or before 7, I could probably help out. But we shall see. If not, Max will have to learn. He's going to have to learn. He's going to have to learn.
And I don't. Yeah, I hear you, man. We have to talk off air about this.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no Chase with Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor. It's coming up every Friday. Also, that brings you right back to me. Saturdays. Me and Jerry. I'm not going to forget Jerry. I'm trying to get this guy to give me a picture with him smiling, looking confident, so I can get a band.
Oh, you know, I forgot all about that. You're right. I'll get you one. I'll get you one before the weekend's out. I just remember that. When you mentioned it, you asked for it a while ago, and I still haven't given it to you.
All right.
No problem.
All right. They're waiting on my money because I know I'm going to win some bets with you. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you guys for listening to us every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics, and what we do is we just give you information, motivation, and variety to make sure you understand what it is we're doing, where we're coming from, because we are who we say we are, and that's excellent. So, with that being said, we got about, 3 minutes left of live there, so let me get right into this Redskins forecast, and then you guys can check out what else we say in the archives. My Washington Redskins. Here we go. You know I got to put my music on, Jerry.
Yeah, I know. I was just waiting for it.
What? You know what? I would put this other one underneath, but it has words in it, and I don't want to, you know, have those words planned, because all we do is win.
I'm surprised you're not playing the Redskin theme, but that's okay.
You know what I'm gonna do? You know what I'm gonna do, JT?
What?
Because my team is so smooth, I'm gonna hit you up like this.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You got the nerve to come out with that. Okay.
Oh, you know it is. Is it too loud?
A little bit.
All right, let me bring it down just a bit. Oh. No chasing. Singing music, ladies and gentlemen.
That's good.
All right, that should be good right there. All right, here we go. Walking the Redskins. What a rival coach says. Enemy line. The Redskins ran the zone read with Robert Griffin III, which allowed him to have the option of handing the ball off or keeping it. Depending on the looks he got from the defense, it was an offense that was very comfortable for him because it's similar to what he ran at Baylor. That's the upside. The downside is defenses in this league will not be as far behind on how to defend that as they were a year ago. I'd be a little surprised if he had as much success running the style of offense this year. He's already had a knee issue. If Redskins are smart with as much money as they have invested in him, they're going to do a good job at finding different ways to protect him so he doesn't make the violent hits coming off the edge from people who are blitzing him. They're going to have to find other ways to move the football. Alfred Morris may get more chances to carry the football because of that. You like to keep a fresh back in there, and that's where Evan Royster comes in. It hurts that Pierre Garçon is not 100%. He is a threat. From a coverage perspective, you always have to know where he's going to go.
Whoa.
Wow. That shot up, JT. What happened? That's a shot.
What'd
up
you do?
Out of nowhere.
What'd
I didn't
do
anything, bro. I didn't
okay
do anything.
All
right. I mean, God just threw that up there. I mean, that's hot.
You know what he's trying to tell you, right?
Yeah. Or is he trying to tell me to wrap it up?
No, no. We don't want to talk about the Washington Redskins.
Whatever. Anyway, Josh
yeah
Gordon is a good, capable, tough receiver. He'll have a lot of hidden or non-fancy production by blocking in the run game. Is he going to have 8 catches or 180 yards in a game? No. Father Time gets us all at some point. Santana Moss is a very dangerous receiver, and he's still a very productive receiver. But his vertical threat now isn't what it was 5 years ago. Fred Davis will be all right, assuming he doesn't have the setbacks from the Achilles tear. Maybe his numbers grow as the season moves on. What I want to say about that is Fred Davis on a 1-year contract. They
mm-hmm
drafted that kid out of Florida. Fred Davis is not as productive as he should be. It might be the end of Fred Davis. And again, last week, Chris Cooley retired. So we want to say thank you very much for your service, Mr. Cooley. Fred Davis has a lot of talent. I don't think Fred Davis is going to be that big of a threat. He'll be a steal if he shows up, but I don't think he will. All right. Sleeper, Kirk Cousins. Bust, Pierre Garçon. Projected starting lineup, Robert Griffin III, Alfred Morris. Don't forget about Chris Thomas. I think Chris Thomas is going to take either Roy Helu or Evan Royster's spot. Chris Thomas, once he gets healthy, he's going to be a nice back, kid out of Florida State. Third down and goal lineback, Alfred Morris, Pierre Garçon, Josh Morgan, Santana Moss. And here's something I found interesting. Even though this is Leonard Hankerson's third year, they went out and signed two veteran receivers. Devery Henderson, who's up and down, but I think he's better than Hankerson. And then they re-signed Dante Stallworth. Was it Dante Stallworth that they re-signed? It was another veteran receiver they got. I think it was Dante Stallworth.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. Fred Davis, Logan Paulison are your tight ends. Then Kai Forbath is the tight end. Is the kicker. With all that I said, JT, what do you think?
Well, it all boils down to what's your quarterback. And if he comes back the first week, or whatever week he comes back. But it all falls down to the main playmaker is Robert Griffin III. If he performs well and doesn't have a sophomore jinx or sophomore slump, your Washington Redskins are going to flourish. But if he struggles, your Washington Redskins quite naturally are going to struggle along with him. They do have a dynamic back in Alfred Morris. He's basically a one trick pony. He carries the ball. I haven't seen him handle the ball passing out of the backfield. Maybe he can do it. Maybe he can't. But it all boils down to Robert Griffin III. You know he's got a cannon for an arm. He's fairly accurate. He needs to be a little bit more accurate, especially thrown to Santana Morrison and Pierre Garçon. And I think, in my opinion, don't sleep on Fred Davis. Fred Davis is as good as the balls that are thrown to him. So depending on what the availability of Fred Davis, how healthy he is, and getting the ball to Fred Davis, he can make plays. I like the Skins, but I think there's a recurring theme in this division.
Somebody's got to win it, Jerry. Somebody's got to win it. But anyway, I think you're right. Here's my issue with the Redskins as far as their receivers and finding someone to throw the ball to. They shuffle their receivers in and out.
Yeah.
And the only consistent receiver will be Pierre Garçon and Santana Moss on third down. Eldrick Robinson had a very good year last year, but he only showed up in a few games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josh Morgan, huh?
Yeah.
And Josh Morgan, you know, he cost the Skins a chance to win the St. Louis Rams game. He's a little immature. He's a good receiver, but he's just a little immature. So, Fred Davis could be a threat, but he only runs his route and stops. That's the only problem I see with Fred Davis. But we'll see what happens. Let's go down this this list and see what are the Redskins going to be. Home for Philly at Green Bay. Home for Detroit at Oakland. This is the killer part of the schedule. They have a bye week in week 5. After that bye week, they come back and go to Dallas. Then they're home for Chicago at Denver, home for San Diego at Minnesota, at Philly, home for San Fran, home for the Giants, home for Kansas City, at Atlanta, home for Dallas, and finishes up at New York. Now, even though, and we said this already, they play the same teams. But I think when you play them, this is something you said to me a lot, JT.
Mm-hmm.
When you play them is what counts most. I see them going 3-1 before the bye week. I have them losing at Green Bay. I think Green Bay is just their offense is just that explosive. And until I see the Redskins secondary, I'm not going to be so confident, you know, that
mm-hmm.
they've got enough DBs to be spread out. Detroit, it's going to be a tough game, but it's at home, so I got them beating them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, I think they're going to be Philly. I think they're going to be Oakland. After the bye week, just kind of hurting jerky. They're going to probably, I'll give them this, lose at Dallas, right? But they come home, and I think they beat Chicago. And because they play Denver at the end of October, I think they win. That's an upset.
Mm-hmm.
That's an upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think since San Diego comes to us, San Diego will lose. Then we go to Minnesota, we'll win. We'll beat Philly. We'll lose to San Fran at home on Monday night. We'll beat New York, beat Kansas City, lose Atlanta, beat Dallas, because we're home, and we'll go to New York. And I think the, because that could be for the division as well. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think New York will be 7-9, so I think the Redskins beat them. That gives the Redskins 10-6, 9-7. But again, I think it's better than the rest of the NFC East.
Okay, I'm glad you see it that way, my friend, because I keep on saying this. I premised it with the first one we did, which was the Dallas Cowboys, and I keep saying it. Each one of these teams in the NFC East, I see a recurring theme here. It's all going to come down to who has the best division record, in my opinion. But they're all, in my opinion, are 8-8. I mean, maybe one of them breaks out to be 9-7, but this is probably the one of the most even leagues, even divisions in all of football. They beat up on each other year in and year out, and 8-8. 8-8, 8-8, 8-8 is what I see these teams. They're not making a cop out, but due to the schedule,
okay,
who wins this division? Oh,
mm-hmm. If everybody's 8-8, you got to pick a winner. Who wins the division?
Who wins the division? They're all 8-8. Who wins the division?
And I believe only one team goes to the playoffs.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. It's only going to be one team. That, I mean, whoever wins the division is the team that's going to go to the playoffs. The other three are going to coulda, woulda, shoulda. Let me see who plays it. Let me see. They play home, and they play home. So I think it's going to come down to the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, because the last game of the season they play a division opponent at home. The other two quite naturally play the division opponent away. In that case, by default, I don't trust the Dallas Cowboys to push themselves into the playoffs again, because they have a habit of disappointing, especially in the last game of the season when it comes to push, come to shove, to try to get into the division. So by default, by no other means, and unfortunately it may come from the hands of the unfortunately the Washington Redskins losing, I think the